The teaching for tonight is going to be, I have it titled, Into His Rest, or The Sabbath. We kind of mentioned it in a teaching the other day. I thought it would be fair for you to look at some of the scriptures that concerned it, because I did mention it several times without the support of other scriptures, or I want you to know that's what it means and what it's all about. We have the problem with understanding the Sabbath and how the Seventh-day churches get it wrong and how the Jewish people have looked at it for all this, traditionally for all these years, is they don't understand what it is. And all of them, including most all the Christian churches I know, okay, they are looking at a Sabbath that no longer exists. As far as the Sabbath is concerned, it's one of those things that existed before the law, like a lot of other concepts and principles that we've talked about before. Then the law came, codified them in a way where observance became mandatory, like the tithe and like all the other stuff of the law. Sure, the word tithe meant a tenth before the law, but when the law came, it took on a doctrinal life of its own. The Sabbath did exactly the same thing. So what we're looking at is we're looking at two different Sabbaths completely. One's the Sabbath that is described in the law, and the other one is the Sabbath of grace. Now, the Sabbath of grace is the one that the modern church just doesn't get. The modern church, including the Seventh-day churches, they don't get it, they don't understand it. So, like most of the stuff, they resort to understandings gleaned out of the law, which is where you don't want to go for anything. And of course, we've talked about this, that the commandments of the law are no longer in force. They don't exist anymore as far as being something that we're supposed to observe. The reality is the definition of the word itself. And that's what we're going to look at next, is what is it? What does the Sabbath really mean? The word Sabbath, here we have in the Strong's Concordance, 7676 in the Hebrew, Old Testament, and it's the word intermission. Now, the root of it, or the other form of it, is to repose or desist from exertion, to cease, or to celebrate, or the word rest. And really, it's the concept of the word rest. When you stop doing something, then you've rested from that. That's the concept here. Now, the problem is that most Christians and the Jewish law see the Sabbath through the eyes of the Ten Commandments. Well, the commandment is to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's the commandment. It's one of the Ten Commandments. How can we not do that? Well, we talked about this before, and if you're hearing this for the first time, then all you have to do is go look at the changing of the priesthood and the tithe, that teaching, and you'll see all about the teachings of the Apostle Paul about the end of the law and why we don't observe the law anymore, and why everything that came from Mount Sinai is fruit of the poisonous tree for Christians and for believers. And we're not supposed to observe it. Now, under the law, under this concept that most people look at the Sabbath, I can remember when I was a kid, living in Miami, Coconut Grove. I don't know if your parents did this or not, but my parents, Sunday afternoon, Sunday during the day, they'd like to go for a Sunday drive. And we did. We used to go for a Sunday drive. We'd drive around. My mother would look at houses, and we'd look at people's, you know, drive by the nice neighborhoods. We'd go every once in a while. We'd end up going through Coral Way, which was called the end of it was called Miracle Mile, and that's where all the stores were in our part of the town, the high-end shops and everything. And no stores were open on Sunday. Entire Miracle Mile was closed on Sunday. Because when I was a kid, that's the way it was. I mean, it was hard to find anything open on Sunday. I mean, maybe a gas station somewhere. That's about it. You couldn't go to Sears. You couldn't go to anywhere. They were all closed. Because that was the observance of the Sabbath for the United States. I mean, that's really how it was back when I was a little kid. I mean, a long time ago, but still, that's the way it was here. The whole country observed Sunday as the Sabbath, and they shut everything down. And, of course, that comes out of that Jewish law, which got embraced because people didn't discern or understand what the Apostle Paul wrote about when he tried to explain it over and over and over again to everybody. Hey, look, this thing is dead. There is nothing there we want. Nothing that came from Mount Sinai is important to us. So under this law of the Sabbath, in Scripture, there was nothing you could do on the Sabbath. So, you know, all you could do is roll the clock back, and it's a lot more extreme than it was when I was a little kid and the stores were closed. You couldn't do anything. Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament law and you look at the Old Testament observances, I'll give you an example here. A man could not fill a dish with oil and put it beside a lamp and put the end of the wick in it. So if you're running out of oil in the lamp, that was it. Because you couldn't not only not fill the lamp, you couldn't move the wick that was burning into another, even if it wasn't a lamp. Okay? You couldn't turn the lamp out on the Sabbath if it was burning. Even if it meant you were going to use up all your oil and burn the wick down to nothing. And lose your wick and lose your oil. It doesn't matter because on the Sabbath you weren't allowed to start a fire or turn a fire off. Okay? You couldn't go out in sandals and walk around outside in sandals that had nails. Because the extra weight of the nails would constitute a burden. And you weren't allowed to carry a burden on the Sabbath. I talked to you about walking in the grass on the Sabbath and knocking a seed off. You'd be in real big trouble. Walking on the grass? Because that would be sowing if a seed got knocked off accidentally off of a weed or something. You couldn't cut your fingernails? You couldn't pull a hair out of your beard or your head on the Sabbath. And you weren't allowed to walk more than about a quarter of a mile. And if you were dying, then they would keep you alive until the Sabbath was over. That was it. But if you weren't dying, forget about the cut. Forget about the bruise, the wound, whatever it was. You could just bleed till tomorrow. I'm serious. This is the Sabbath law. So we talked about this concept before in the other teaching, is that the law brought people into bondage to it. So the believers, or the Hebrews, the Jewish people, they were in bondage to the law. Then Christianity came, and even after the teachings of Paul, many people continued to walk in the bondage that he warned them about. Why do you want to go back into bondage again? He kept telling them. Because there were all these teachings that were carryovers. You got to remember, a lot of the early believers were Jews. And because they were believers in Christ and Jews, they influenced the Judaism on the people. You can see it in the scripture if you look it up. You'll see places where the people from Jerusalem, from the church in Jerusalem, would show up. The followers of James, the just, okay? in from Jerusalem, and I always call them the James Gang. They'd show up, and boy, oh boy, they'd follow people in the bathroom to see if they were circumcised. They'd get on your case if you were eating with a Gentile and you were a Jew. They would give you the bad look, you know, because they were all about the law. It was almost impossible for them to stop it and lay that down. And Paul warns us over and over again, warned the believers over and over again, just don't go there. This is not where you want to go. Don't listen to these guys. I told you something different. Believe me, don't. And he's warning them against some of the other leaders that we know as disciples. He said, look, if one of us, when he says if one of us or an angel that even says he's from God tells you anything different from what I told you, don't believe him. And when he says one of us, he's talking about church leaders, disciples of Christ. If one of us tell you anything different, don't believe it. Trying to warn people. Now, these two Sabbaths that we're going to talk about, Isaiah talks about them. And he talks about both of them. And I pulled a few scriptures out to look at. He talks about the Sabbath of the law in Isaiah 56:2. He's 56:1-2. I think I have it here twice. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the Son of Man that lays hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. It's Isaiah talking about the Sabbath. Even though he's talking about the Sabbath that exists then, there's a hint of, and my righteousness to be revealed. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Okay, keep my judgment, even though this is coming, even though my salvation's coming, even though my righteousness is going to be revealed, you need to do this. And keep the Sabbath from polluting it. So there's a hint of something coming. Now, Isaiah 11, verse 10, it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, that's talking about Christ. Talking about a day that's going to come. This is a prophetic word to Isaiah from God. And this one is quoted in the New Testament. When Peter's preaching on the first day after they receive the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the end of Pentecost, Peter says, he quotes the scripture saying, this was that which was spoken. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. They were talking about the operation of tongues. When it was quoted in the New Testament, the scripture was quoted from Isaiah, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. It's talking about the operation of tongues of the Holy Spirit speaking to the people on the day of Pentecost, when they all couldn't believe what they were hearing because they knew they couldn't understand a word that was going on, but they understood everything. How can we hear this? How can we hear those guys? How can we understand? How can they be speaking in a language that nobody here knows except me? With stammering lips and another tongue, they'll speak to his people. And the next part is, and this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest. That this operation of the presence of the Holy Spirit is a Shabbat. It's a rest to enter into. But of course, when he said it, they didn't understand. But we can look at the scriptures and we can understand what's going on here. I've got a few scriptures here. We're going to look at them because here's where the body of the teaching is going to probably be. And it's going to be in Hebrews. Because it's there. There's a concept here that we need to grasp a hold of to understand Shabbat, so Sabbath, or Sabbathing. We need to understand it. And these are the scriptures that are going to help us understand it. We'll start with Hebrews 3, verses 9 through 12. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, you do always err in your heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore unto my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, in this section of Hebrews, it's talking about, and it mentions, and it's, we're going to see it again in chapter 4 of Hebrews, the 40 years that the children of Israel demanded proof from God, demanded God to do all these things, to feed them in the wilderness, and manna, and the quails, and stopping the diseases, and all the stuff he did. 40 years of this stuff he did. And that includes the time, the 40 years, this is including after Mount Sinai, and after the law was given. So you can wrap that all up because they wrap it up in the scriptures as 40 years of them seeing me perform and tempting me and proving me, testing me. And remember what I said? He's reminding the people. Remember what God said? That these people, they're never going to get this right. Their heart's always wrong. They haven't figured this out at all. They don't understand me or my ways. And God swore, and we can look at that scripture in a minute here. God swore to them that they would never enter into his Shabbat. Now, it's a real important statement. They shall not enter into my rest. Well, wait a minute. Weren't they Sabbathing? Yeah, but they weren't entering into my rest. They were entering into the rest of the law, which they still do. And they're not entering into his rest because his rest is a spiritual thing. Remember we talked about it? We just read it in the verse before that. When the operation of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, what did it say? What did Isaiah say? That's going to be the refreshing. That's what you're going to enter into. That's where the rest is going to be. Isn't this interesting now? All right, now here we go. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read it again in another place. Verse 1 through 11. We're going to read the whole body of scripture here. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest. Again, I'll start again. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest. We got to watch out. We don't want to lose this promise of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Be careful that you don't come short of entering into his rest. I'm interpreting as we're going along here. Bear with me. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. Now I'm going to stop for just a second. The gospel that was preached to all of us, but they didn't listen to it. Who's the they? Who's the they they're talking about? the ones that didn't listen, the ones that refused the message or the good news. And they were first the Jews. Remember? They were the first ones. This letter is written to the Jews. This is Hebrews. This is not writing to Corinth. This is not Corinthians. This is Hebrews. He's writing to the Jews. So he's talking to them. And he's saying, look, we heard it. Everybody heard it. But we're the only ones that believed it. And we mixed that with our faith. And they didn't mix it with their faith. They wouldn't believe it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise, and God did rest the seventh day from his works, and this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, this place again, if they'll enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. I'm going to stop there for just a second. This is very interesting. Verse 3, he starts out, but we that believed have entered into that rest. And what did God, they're reminding them again that God swore in his wrath that they won't enter into my rest. He's telling the people, it's talking about the ones that they refused to believe the message. Those are the ones that weren't allowed to enter in because they refused the message. But this part here, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on the wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all the works. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest. Okay, you got to follow with me here just a second. God created the heavens and the earth, and the seventh day he rested. Listen to me. Has he stopped resting? No. He had. That's it. All creation was done. And he, God, is in Shabbat. Still the seventh day for him. This is the place, guys. He's saying, this is the place. This is the place you want to be because it's been done since the beginning. Shabbat has been there and has existed since the seventh day of creation. And the idea is, all we got to do is enter into it. Very different concept, isn't it, from the Sabbath that's being taught. And they're teaching us, Paul, the apostle in Scripture, is trying to tell us, guys, this Sabbath thing, like he did with the tithe and like he did with the priesthood and everything else, this Sabbath thing isn't what you think it is. It's been around since the seventh day of creation, since the foundation of the world, it's been here. And God said that these guys wouldn't be able to go into it. But we can. Because we believe. So there's this concept of Sabbath that is part and parcel of our salvation. It's part of the things available to us as believers. Like grace. It's part of grace. Part of grace is that we have this flow from God towards us that has no limit on it. And that flow from God includes Shabbat. Along with everything else, this is another part of the thing that we receive. And what did they say? On the day of Pentecost, didn't you hear them? What happened on the day of Pentecost? What did you see them doing? They had received the Holy Spirit. They had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were in the flow of the Holy Spirit, the operations of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit bring? All the things that are of God. Correct? Because that's what the Scripture says. That we receive salvation through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. We receive everything that God has for us. And right there it says that they stepped into that right there. They stepped right into Shabbat and that refreshing of rest. So, boy, this sure changes it a lot, doesn't it? This is a very different understanding of Shabbat. Now, let's look and see if it really reinforces that, because we're going to look at the rest of the verses here. In verse 6 again, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, and harden not your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? We'll stop here for just a second. He's talking about Joshua. You remember who Joshua was? He's the one that led the children of Israel into the promised land. Before they crossed over, he became the leader, the one who was going to take the leadership away from Moses of the people before they crossed over to the other side. And Joshua said, when we get over there, there'll be rest. Because we know the children of Israel, the scripture said, we already read it twice, three times here, Isaiah and in Hebrews, that they weren't going to be able to enter into that rest, were they? 40 years. Now, when the 40 years were over, Joshua took over and led the people into the promised land. Now, so that time that it was no longer available should have been over. Well, if it was, then why did Joshua say that there's a day coming where we'll be able to enter into his rest? Prophetically. So really, they still hadn't. As long as they were under the law, they couldn't. God told them for 40 years they wouldn't be able to. But instead of dropping the law, they took the law with them. And as long as they had the law, the bondage continued. Past the 40 years for another 1,000. Isn't it amazing, huh? It says here that if... Actually, God spoke to David. He told David, listen, if you'll just harden not your heart. Did David experience Shabbat? I believe he did. First of all, we know he's in on salvation. And there's a reason why. And the reason why is because in spite of the law, David had a personal relationship with God, and he defied the law. Now, I can tell you how many times, because it's quoted in the scriptures, we're going to see it again. We're going to see it again, where David goes and takes his guys, they come back from a battle, they walk right into the temple, and they steal and eat the showbread, which is unlawful to do. Why? Because David, it says, was a man after God's own heart. He didn't care about the law. The law did not move him. What he was moved by was his faith in God. And that was accounted to him for righteousness, just like Abraham, the scripture says. We'll look at that in just a minute here. All right, let me finish reading this before we get carried away. Verse 9, after it says that Joshua said, look, there's a time coming where there's going to be a rest. The next verse says, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that enters into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Belief, faith, is where the rest is. That's where the Shabbat is. It's in belief. It still exists. Verse 9 says, the rest still exists for the people of God, if they're willing to labor to enter into it. Which, by the way, does not sound like the law at all, because they say don't labor on the Sabbath. This scripture says labor to get into the Sabbath. What's it talking about? It's talking about pressing into the presence of God. Labor to enter into His rest, into His Shabbat. Okay, we don't want to observe Shabbat. We want to enter into Shabbat. We don't want to observe the Shabbat of the law. We want to enter into the Shabbat of God, the one that's existed since the foundation of the world. Now, I have it here printed in the literal version. Well, I'm going to just read it through in the literal so you can have an idea what it sounds like a little differently from the King James Version. Therefore, let us fear, lest perhaps a promise having been left to enter into His rest, that any of you may seem to come short. For indeed we have had the gospel preached to us, even as they also, but the word did not profit those hearing it, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard. For we, the ones believing, enter into the rest, even as He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, though the works had come into being from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken somewhere about the seventh day this way, and God rested from all His works on the seventh day. And in this again, they shall not enter in my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who formerly had the gospel preached did not enter in on account of disobedience, He again marks out a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, according as He has said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua gave them rest, then He would have not afterwards spoken of another day. So then there remains a Sabbath rest to the people of God. For He entering into His rest, He Himself also rested from His works, as God had rested from His own. Therefore, let us exert ourselves to enter into that rest, that not anyone fall in the same example of disobedience. Okay, and now here I have Psalms. This is what they're referring to from the Psalms. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Woe unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now, so Paul's teaching to the Hebrews, to the Jews, and he's telling them the whole deal. If they had been given rest by Joshua, then why would he say that there was one coming? Joshua also spoke of a rest that was coming, the rest of entering into the rest of God. He spoke of it the whole time. They were there in the new world. But they didn't do it. If they had been able to enter into the rest of God, why would he say, one day we're going to enter the rest of God? And there's a bunch of scriptures on it. I didn't dig them all out for you, but I'm going to look at some other ones with you here. And what I want to do is I want to get to the New Testament so we can establish it again for ourselves as believers. Acts 3:19-20. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Christ, Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In Colossians 2:16 it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. Now, red letters. I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start the story with Luke. It actually appears in almost all the Gospels. We're going to read them all, because one of them has a little more information than the other two. But let's go look at Luke chapter 6, verse 2 through 5. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, "Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus answered and said, "Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was hungry, and they were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone? And he said to them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Now, we're going to read it in the other ones. Just stop and look at this for just a second. When they say, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Why are you doing that?" He's healing the guy. "That's not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Now, by the way, he broke three Sabbath laws by healing the one guy. Not one, three. And what's his response? "I'm not doing anything different than what David did. Hey, you don't like what I did? Complain about what David did. Because it's the same thing." He went in and he broke the law because he was hungry. And his guys were hungry. And the thing that was reserved for the officials of the law, he took for himself and his guys. And I'm telling you that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's also the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, we did this study before about the Son of Man. And every time we see Son of Man, we know what it's saying. Jesus is saying that just a regular man. That the Son of Man, or a regular person like myself, a regular human being, is Lord of the Sabbath. Well, what does Lord mean? Doesn't mean God. He's not the God of the Sabbath. What does the word Lord mean? The one in charge. The one in control. So, if the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, if man is Lord of the Sabbath, if man is in charge of the Sabbath, I mean, you know, the other party said, we're going to get to that too, that the Sabbath, man wasn't created for the Sabbath. Sabbath was created for man. It says almost the same thing. Now, in that statement, he doesn't use Lord anywhere. He uses man. Doesn't even bother using the word Lord, because the word Lord is just administrator or overseer. All right, let's look at it in Mark. Basically, Mark says exactly the same thing. The same example about David again. In Matthew, there's a little bit different. Let's look at that for just a second. Matthew 12, verses 2 through 8. By the way, that other one was in Mark 2, 24 through 28. So in Matthew 12, 2 through 8, let's read there. "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said to them," now they're not complaining about Jesus, they're talking about the disciples. What are they doing? Well, there's the kind of stuff we're talking about. They went in the field, they grabbed grain, they pulled it off the stalks. They took the grain, they put it in their hands, and they rubbed it to take the chaff off so they could eat it. They broke two laws. Okay? Because those are two separate laws. Now, same defense. "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? And they that were with him, how they entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law," and it's not talking about the law of ordinances. It's talking about the Old Testament. This is one of those places where the word law is used when it's talking about the whole body of writing, not just the commandments. Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Well, they're working. When the priests do offerings in the temple, they do that. That's what we're working all day long on the Sabbath. They're blameless, though. Why? I don't know. You tell me. But I say to you, verse 6, that in this place is one that's greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Okay. They're not in the temple. This scene takes place. What took place out in the field. The pulling of the grain. The rubbing of the husks. The eating of the grain on the Sabbath. He says that, I'm telling you, that right here is one that's greater than the temple. This is a hard statement because everybody really thinks that what he's saying is, it's me. I'm the Son of God. No, that's not what he's talking about. Who's greater than the temple? Wasn't David greater than the temple when he went in to steal the showbread? Sure he was. And the guys that were with him? Sure they were. And me and my guys? We are too. And if you'd have known that, you wouldn't have been accusing me. But you don't know that. You think there's nothing greater than the temple. The temple, what does he say to his disciples after they leave the temple? And they tell him, look at this temple, how beautiful it is. And he goes, I'm telling you, that, there's not going to be one stone on the other. Remember, we talked about this in another teaching. That stuff is not going to endure. It's not going to last. It is not important. You think it's important? I'm telling you, it's not important. It's going to all be gone. So what's important? Those that have the Spirit of God in them, believers that are connected to God by faith, the ones who believed after they heard. Not like the Jews that didn't believe when they heard. Because the ones that believed after they heard got access to everything of God. And you can just go down the list of salvation and everything that's in grace. Forgiveness of sins. See, that wasn't available to the Pharisees. Why? Because the temple was more important to them. But Jesus came to say, look, your body's a temple. It's the real temple. It's the real temple of God, and it's inside of you. It's not a building made out of stones by hand. This is a building of God, holy in the heavens, eternal. Absolutely. Eternal. Now, so he's laying this out, but they don't understand this. These guys are just—they're just looking at him like, "What's this guy talking about?" And he knows. He tells them they wouldn't understand it. Well, if you would have understood it, I would have forgiven you for having even coming over here and giving us a hard time. But you didn't. So you see this perspective is so different. We saw a whole bunch of scriptures on the last study we did, where all of them were talking about entering into this rest, this Shabbat of God. What wasn't clear for you, because that's why I wanted to do this, was it isn't, oh, when I take time and I be with God, then I'm Sabbathing. Although that's true, it's what the concept is that the Sabbath of God has existed all this time. And this whole group of people that were in the scriptures never even entered into it. Never entered into it. David entered into it. Abraham entered into it. Some of the people in Scripture where it says that their faith was accounted to them as righteousness. Why? Because Shabbat is something that you enter into by faith. It's not like salvation. It's part of salvation. It's through salvation, we have access to all the things of God. And part of that is being able to enter into His Shabbat, that there is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, that the joy of the Lord is our strength, the joy of the Lord. Our joyfulness about God? No. God's joy. And His joy is in Shabbat. His joy is in He did creation and He's done. And all the provisions for us existed from the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Our names were written in the book from the foundation of the world. All those scriptures say the same thing. It's been done since the beginning on God's part. And what we do is we access that, the finished work of God, by faith. Now the Hebrews, when they were delivered out of Egypt, they didn't get it. It says it in here. You guys, you never got it. You didn't understand my ways. You didn't understand any of it. And what do they want? They wanted laws. So He gave them laws. And they never did enter into His rest. They entered into bondage to the law. They never stared into the perfect law of liberty. They wanted the imperfect law from Mount Sinai. And the rest that we have access to is the real Shabbat. And it's by faith whenever we want. And it's something that we labor to get into, as opposed to the Sabbath of the law, which is you don't labor to get into. The law and the prophets were up until John. Afterwards, the kingdom of heaven was preached, and every man presses into it. Labor to enter into that rest. Labor to enter into the kingdom of God. Labor to enter into the gifts of God, the presence of God. Why? Because faith, being the substance of things hoped for, is the labor that we go through to receive anything from God. But we know that when we're praying, when we're worshiping, we've entered into the presence of God. And we've entered into His rest, because that's what He's doing. So anytime we come into the presence of God, it's like it's all around us. The Sabbath, the Shabbat of God is all around us. That's where it is. When we go, that's where we are. We're in the Shabbat of God because that's what He's doing. Since the seventh day, He hasn't stopped. It's there and it's all around Him all the time. Why? Because He's not creating anymore. He's Shabbatting. So if we're going to see Him, if we're going to be with Him, we're going to have to be where He is. And where He is Sabbathing. Come, enter into my rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, enter into my rest. That's what Jesus says. You hear me? All you that labor and are heavy laden, enter into my rest. Come into my Shabbat. Experience this. You want refreshing? You want to know what this is? We know it. We feel it. We feel it. We get it. It's on us. Think about it. The times that you've been there, you know, when you're really present and this feeling comes on you and you are like, whoa, when I teach, what am I experiencing? I've pressed myself. I've labored to enter into this. And now I'm experiencing this flow of God. And the flow from the throne of God is surrounded by, immersed in, impregnated with Shabbat. You cannot do it. I'll give you another example here. The word of God brings joy to the hearer. Why? Because it's immersed in Shabbat. You can't, if you're not hearing the word of God, or if you're not experiencing the joy, then you're not hearing the word of God, and you have never, and you haven't entered into that rest. But it's not a day of the week. It's something that's been there since the foundation of the world. We just saw the scriptures. Since the foundation of the world, it's been there, the scripture says. There's a place. You can get there, it says. And there's a place. If you knew about the place, then you'd understand. We just read it. This is the place God was talking about. The place that he was at on the seventh day, that's the place. Right from the scriptures it says it. So now we know it's not talking about a day. And it's not talking about us serving it. Because when we get there, it serves us. We're ministered to. The Shabbat of God ministers to us. We don't minister to it. That's what Jesus is talking about. When he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You guys don't even have, you got it all wrong. He tells the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Different. Very exciting. Another one of those concepts that, you know, big picture concept. You don't get any bigger picture than since the seventh day. That's pretty big. Since the foundations of the world were world was laid, Shabbat has been there, waiting for somebody to want it, to come into it. And we know that Jesus said David did, because he uses David as an example. And what was David doing when he went into the temple and stole the showbread? They were hungry. They were tired. And they were looking for the provision of God. And David entered by faith, because he had a relationship with God. Personal relationship with God. Just like we do. So, whatever's in the Holy of Holies we need, it's available to us. It's not for the priest. In the tabernacle of God that's not made with hands. This is not a place for priests. It's a place for believers that enter into by faith to receive what? Hebrews, it says, we go boldly before the throne of grace. In a time of trouble. And we receive whatever we petition for. Provision. Everything we need is there. Everything we need comes from the invisible realm of God. And we just grab it. We receive it from God, and it manifests itself here. Because the refreshing is real. Where was it before? It was there all the time. Just like salvation. It was there all the time. But until we entered in and received it, and grasped the whole of it, seized upon it, and claimed it as our own, it was not for us until we did. Then it was ours. Just like all the other things of God. All right, I guess that... You have any questions on that? You want to add anything to it? I just wanted to clarify this because I saw this and I said to myself, you know, I keep talking about Shabbat. We talked about it. And a lot of people, they keep getting stuck with this day thing. And it's not what it is. Jesus teaches it. Paul teaches it. They're right. Both of them are right. Anybody else says anything different, I'm just telling you right now, can't be right. Seventh-day churches, they're right out of the law. They're still bound with the law. They can't see any. They're in that box we talked about. That garden that they created for themselves. They're stuck in. And when they become bondservants to it. That's why Paul says, why do you want to go back into bondage? Why? You've been set free. Why do you want to go back into bondage? And they will never experience the Shabbat of God.
Why do they do that? Because they believe the lie?
They believe the lie.
And it sets and grows in it.
They become the slaves of it. You know, if you really think about it, ever see what happens to a slave? You can look through all of history and see it. If you're born a slave and you're raised a slave, you have a slave mentality. They don't need to put chains on you. The only time they put chains on someone is if they're brand new slaves, because they want to go back to freedom. The slaves, the chains are self-imposed. They wouldn't know where to go. When they let the slaves free in America, even though it was not that long from the time they came from Africa, maybe a generation and some maybe two generations at the most. Most of them first generation slaves. Those guys ran. The other ones, what did they do? They stayed on the plantation. Where do we go? What do we do? Tell us what to do, Master. Why? When someone's kidnapped and they held hostage long enough, they don't need to lock them in the room anymore. They can take them downtown shopping with them. We see it all the time on television. We watch these stories, real life stories, where they didn't have them in chains, they didn't have them locked in the room. They would take them out in the street with them. Because the bondage is up here in the head.
That little voice, that lie.
And they become people that join cults. We talk about the power of the lie, bringing people into bondage. They kidnap them, and they got to put them in a room, and they got to work on them for days to deprogram them. Sometimes they never accomplish it. And all those people want to do is run back to bondage, just like the children of Israel back to Egypt.
Well, it's just like train your child on the way they should go. If you train him in bondage, he's going to be in bondage.
Yeah, they don't run back to Jesus so easily as they run back to the devil.
Okay, I'm gonna close it up for now, or this is going to be the end of that.